Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Happy to be with you this morning. Good morning, good morning. I'm Ryan Recker. If you want to find me online, at Ryan Recker. Also, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Lee Rogers, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Ryan.
That story about the daycares in Minnesota, man, that is such a story. Can I just say, on a journalistic side, how proud are you of that young man that went around and looked at this for himself and everything he uncovered?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of this guy for doing that.
Yeah, it's a really good piece of investigative reporting, and it's something that apparently locals in Minnesota have known about for quite some time. And apparently it sounds like that the governor did as well, despite his denials.
It sounds like, he absolutely knew what was going on. What is it? Are they just openly sympathetic to Somalians to the fact where they'll allow fraud to happen because they think it's the right thing to do?
Right. I guess they figure that's social and economic justice, I guess. So
exactly.
Equity, I guess. I don't know.
What they're doing is what they believe is justice, to allow the fraud to offset the federal government who wants to stop the fraud. It's ridiculous. To me, that is someone that is openly defying the law, and that also needs to be looked at.
Yeah, no question. There needs to be a federal investigation into this. And the cynical part of me thinks that Minnesota is not the only place where this has been going on.
Well, this seems to be the highest concentration.
Yes.
When you talk about Somalian immigrants that come in, and
very
much so, how do you think they learned about this loophole that they would just rubber stamp millions of dollars if you told them you had a? They learned it from someone, and I wonder who they could have learned it from.
Well, you know, it makes you wonder if there was not someone within the state government there that was saying, "Hey, here's a way you could, you know, make some money."
Yep.
It's fascinating to me that this could go on for any length of time without a state agency saying, "Hey, wait a minute, you're calling yourself a daycare center. We've been there, and there are no kids."
Proves they haven't been
there. Because in this state, any type of daycare center, whether it's commercial or religious, you know, because a lot of the churches have daycare centers, they're monitored by DSS, the state agency. And you've got to prove certain things, and in fact, they actually make visits. So it would be interesting to see if there had actually ever been an attempt by any state agency to actually visit these specific locations where there was no activity going on.
You know what really, I know it's probably not the perfect example to bring up, but you know, I've lived in areas where the city will hassle and try to shut down homeless shelters because, oh, you know what, you have too many people in here, or, oh, you know what, the shower's not working properly, the hot water's out. And these people are just trying to get people off the street so they can have a place to sleep at night.
Right.
And they're mostly, you know, faith-based, so part of them in the condition of them staying at this place is them to go to, like, a service or hear about the Word of God,
or
there's some other part to it. Yeah. You have government officials that will do everything they can to shut places like that down, faith-based, and they'll go in and they'll find any excuse to shut these things down, and they are overly intrusive from people who are trying to help other people.
Yep.
And then you have places like this where they're allowed to operate with literally zero children, and they're just given money over and over and over again, and there's not one person checking up on it.
There's been no reporting of anyone checking up on it. I'm still skeptical about that. I still think that there, at some point, some agency saw that there was nothing going on, or some official, and just looked the other way. Or maybe they were getting, you know, some payback, too.
That could very well be. That's another possibility, for
sure. Follow the money. That always will lead you to the criminal.
Minnesota, that's what you're dealing with in Minnesota right now.
Oh, and I love Tim Walz's excuse. Well, you haven't proved that there's billions of being a dollar. I don't care if it's billions or millions or trillions. It's fraud of the American taxpayer. It's federal government money that is going to something that is not providing any service, so as far as we can tell. So the amount of money is not a defense, Governor. Sorry.
Well, let's just say this. I think it's plausible it's in the billions.
Absolutely.
Because if you have this person that during his own independent investigation, which he documented pretty thoroughly, we had the paper receipts, that over $100 million that he was able to discover on this one go about. Now, let's say that in you looked at this over the course of the year and expanded out your search and then multiply that by the amount of years this has been going on. Very plausible this goes into the billions of dollars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. One other thing I saw. What do you think about dog cloning? Because I saw the New York Post do something about this. They were talking to people that have cloned their animals. Yeah. It cost about $50,000 to take an animal of yours that you love who has died, use their genetics, and then recreate that animal so the next animal looks exactly like your pup that died.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Why are people have too much money, one. And number two, why would you deny an animal that needs a home that would probably love you more than this clone dog would to just try to have the cosmetic nature of finding a dog that looked exactly like your former dog? To me, that's wrong.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not, as that adamant about it, but I'm just not a big fan of it. But yeah, you make an excellent point there. It's like, why not just adopt one that is in need of a, as they say, forever home and, help out.
Well, part of this article that they did, it was an exclusive from the New York Post. Yeah. They spoke to a few people that took this on and said, it's weird because they look exactly alike and they smell exactly like the old dog. And I thought all dogs pretty much smell the same for the most part. But the other thing they said was there's other things that are not the same. For example, you know how your dog gives you a certain look when it wants to go outside?
Right.
Or it gives you a certain whimper when it's like hungry or it's thirsty. It's
painfully
trying to let you know.
Aware of that, yes.
They said the little cues that the dog would give you were different. So that is one of the things that do not transfer over when it came to.
I mean, because there may be a tendency for certain types of behaviors that are, instinct, but it is a different individual. It is a different animal. It may look the same, but it's going to have some variations because of its the way it's being raised or the environment. It's there's going to be some differences there, so it's not going to be the exact same animal all over again.
Can I tell you, I like an animal with a good sob story. Like when we adopt animals, if someone has a sad story, that makes it even more appealing to me. Is that strange?
No, that's called empathy.
Empathy. Oh, I've been accused of not having empathy. So the first dog I adopted was a pit bull that no one wanted. It was at a no-kill shelter, abused, probably a bait dog, had its ears completely chopped off. And that's what bait dogs do. They when they're out there, they try to get rid of things that could deter them from fighting. And it was a sad, sad looking animal that was super, super scary. And he was my soul dog. I truly believe there's one dog that you connect with more than any other dog in your entire life. That was the one I connected with. The dog that we have now was a meth lab dog, meaning when they raided a meth lab, this is the dog that was there and no one claimed.
Boy, you are really going out over going out of your way to really get some troubled pets, aren't you?
They're great dogs, though. Yeah, I'm telling anyone listening right now, they turn out to be the best dogs. Don't clone your dog. Look for stories that appeal to you. Give them a good home and let them have the rest of their life in a good home.
Yeah.
And spoil those puppies.
Yeah.
And if they have a weird 90-degree turn in their tail, like your cat you told
me
about, get that cat.
Yes.
That's the stuff I'm looking for. Is it strange I walk into an animal shelter and say, who is your most damaged animal? I want to see them first.
Boy, I hope you don't use that style when you go into the dealership and say, show me your worst car you got here.
That is the best strategy. Show me the car that's been on the lot the longest, the one you're tired of paying interest or whatever on, and I'll be the one to take it off your hands if you give me the right price. That's the stuff I look for. That's my personality. I'm not looking for the one with the most rust or anything like that. I mean, give me the one the mechanics can't fix. I'm not asking for that. I just want to know the one that's been there the longest.
There you go.
Lee Rogers, I'm looking forward to working with you this week. This is a lot of fun. Coming up after the break, I do want to talk a little bit about this investigation that's going on by the FBI in Minnesota. And also, in memorandum, the mainstream pop culture in memorandum. This is kind of interesting. Do you know there's a rise in Mormon appeal right now? I want to talk about that this hour, too, coming up. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. Don't go anywhere on WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Having fun with you here, and want to let you know that we're going to bring on a energy expert in the next 10 minutes or so. This is kind of fascinating. We see oil prices going down, and Jay Young is a gas expert. So where does it go from here? He's a fourth generation in oil and gas. And I know that the gas prices going down have a big impact on everything. So where does it go from here in 2026? Are we going to continue to see a drop? Is it going to get better based on the more friendly policies that we're seeing? Where is the markets today? If we see an increase in these data centers pulling in more energy, is that going to play a factor into it too? So we'll talk to him about all these things after maybe, let's say, we go to break and come back with him after that. So the FBI is investigating Minnesota fraud scheme. And here's from Reuters. The FBI has surged investigative resources and personnel to Minnesota. Bureau Director Cash Patel said on Sunday, the latest instance of the Trump administration's fraud investigations that have largely targeted the state's Somali immigrants. It's so funny they say targeted the state's Somali immigrants. Can we rephrase it in a way where if they are guilty of fraud, then we can look at it as in Somali immigrants targeted the United States? Can we look at it in the more realistic way that they looked at it's not even a loophole. They looked at a way where fraud could go unchecked, and they put these centers together with zero kids, collected the money, didn't offer a service that they said they were collecting. And if you go back even for the last couple of presidential elections, what did they say when they were candidates up on the stage and they were going through the debates and they said, you know, the cost of living is really high right now. You know how hard it is to pay for daycare? It's the daycare costs are incredibly difficult for so many different families. They just can't afford it. So we got to find a way to get these prices down. So what happens? We need to find a way to make the prices more affordable. So a lot of states went through the effort to make sure these were either subsidized or they gave some sort of tax rebate or whatever the method is in order to try to help some of these young families, because they realized you need all the help you can get when you got young ones, and it is not easy. So now what we find is that these systems were abused, much like a lot of government systems were, to the point where now we need to know, were hundreds of millions and perhaps most likely billions of dollars wasted because there was zero oversight and you found a way to benefit certain immigrants that you're more sympathetic to than others. And ultimately, the people that were meant to be helped by this money weren't getting help. And you took it away from them. You stole it from them. So now the FBI is going to look further into this. But I go back and I say that the one person that put together this documentary, it's about 45 minutes long, and Nick Shirley is the main person, but it goes as they decide to go down the list, who is getting these subsidies and how much money are they getting? Let's go and visit these different child care centers and see if they are lying to us or not. And the strange thing is, one after another, they found they were being lied to. There is a need for daycares. There is a need for places to watch children where parents work, young children, and when they're not yet at the age for school, because, you know, once they hit 5 years old, there's either pre-K or kindergarten, and then that takes up a lot of their day during the year, you know, during the school year. So before that, there's a big need. Well, if you want those people to work and contribute and get money and pay taxes and, you know, you have to find a way for them to have their children taken care of during that time. And that's why I think the government looks at it as, okay, this is something we need to do. Obviously, affordability is part of it, but, you know, keeping people in the workforce is a part of it as well. So when they start to pay all of this money out and these services aren't being rendered and they're just being collected, then maybe that could account for some of the reason why we're having such a shortage in some of these different areas, that they think that they're being covered, but they're really not. This fraud is really something that could happen all across the United States. But isn't it strange that when you find out that in Minnesota that it's primarily one group of people doing it? Isn't that strange? Especially in a state where they're highly sympathetic to people that may be coming into this country, illegal or not, from one certain part of the world. Why would they all of a sudden understand that this loophole is there unchecked for them to collect millions of dollars? And why would we as taxpayers want them to be the recipient of that money? So here's part of this documentary, by the way. I'll just play some of it for you and you can kind of get a feel what the 45 minutes are like. So you have Nick Shirley going around. He's got a camera. He's got a microphone. And you have another person that has a spreadsheet that's looking at all these different addresses. Here's the name of the businesses and here's who's collecting money. They're checking up on them and then seeing if they're actually honest businesses or not. I'll press play here. Okay.
Welcome to Bright Beginning Center.
But what do you guys think about the fraud that's taking place here in Minnesota?
No comments. Can I please close?
Right here, you have Serenity Quality Care. All of these businesses are literally the same type of business, providing the same service in the same building. Another, Convenience Home Healthcare, Aid, Inc., and Child-Friendly Space. All these companies get money from the government. Why would you have the same company, essentially, inside of the same building, door to door? Right here, Queenly Home Healthcare. It just does not make sense. If you're trying to operate a business, you'd want to have less competition. But here, they have all of their competition right next door.
We're wondering, because we hear there's lots of fraud taking place here in Minnesota, and we're wondering, why is there so many of the same companies inside of this same building?
No, I don't know that.
What do you think about the fraud that's taking place here in Minnesota?
I don't have any idea about that fraud, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
What do you think about the news articles and what's being spread on the news about the fraud?
Right now, you are doing something wrong.
I'm just asking you.
No, you about don't the have fraud. To ask me, okay? Don't ask me that question again.
Okay?
Okay. Okay?
Who can I speak to?
Yeah?
Who can I speak to? Okay. As soon as you confront about the fraud, they get angry.
Well, you're not allowed to ask that question, huh? You're not allowed to ask why we're collecting money with zero kids and services being offered for that money? That's fascinating to me. Yes, you are allowed to ask those questions. And the interesting thing was, all the places they go to, you see no kids. Why is that? So this investigation is going to really be, I think, eye-opening. And I think our, you know, governor in Minnesota, their governor in Minnesota, Walz, who wanted to be vice president of the United States, now you get to see what type of tactics the Democratic Party uses to funnel money into the hands of people that it's not designed to go to. This is the type of money laundering the Democrat Party has been involved with for years, and it's just one of the many that have been caught red-handed. But will Walz have any sort of repercussions? Let's hope. All right, our guests, we're going to talk about energy. Where's energy prices going next year? Jay Young joins us. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Happy to be with you here. We're trying to connect to our guest, and hopefully we'll be able to get him here soon. I'm curious where he thinks energy prices are going in the next year, if they're going in the direction that'll help the consumer or not. I guess we will find out. I was going through this list too, and I mentioned this to Lee Rogers, that I always like to look at who were the celebrities in the past year who died. The end of the year, the in memorandum, for whatever reason, you forget about how many people that you enjoyed their artistic expressions over the years in acting, music, whatnot, writing. Then you go back and you say, I forgot that this person died. And it just reminds you just how fast the news cycles are actually just churning in and out. I'm going to go through a list, and as I name these, I want you to take a mental note how many of them you're like, oh, I forgot about that person. Because I guess if I were to read 20, you'd say them for 15 of the 20. All right, here we go. Here's some notable celebrities who died in the past year. Robert Redford, Diane Keaton, Rob Reiner, that's the new one, Ozzy Osbourne, and, you know, that's a big one that I forgot about. Gene Hackman, you remember the Gene Hackman story? Here's one I'm sure you forgot about. Val Kilmer, that's a big one. David Lynch, the director, that's a big one. Jane Goodall, you know, she worked with the animals. Was it the, yeah, chimpanzees expert. Malcolm Jamal Warner was on The Cosby Show, if you remember. Brian Wilson, I completely forgot about the co-founder of the Beach Boys. One of the biggest musical influences for so many different people. Hulk Hogan, the wrestler. Pope Francis is put on that list, too, which is kind of interesting. June Lockhart, and I'm not that much into, like, Lost in Space, stuff like that, Meet Me in St. Louis, but that's a big name, at least I recognize. Giorgio Armani. Jimmy Cliff is on that list. Jimmy Cliff, the musician, I believe, a reggae musician. Dick Cheney, I forgot, died this year. That was a big one, too. That football player, Marshawn Kneeland. That was a sad story with how that one ended. There's another, Kelly Mack. I recognize her picture, but I didn't know her name. Ace Frehley from Kiss. That's another big one. George Foreman died this year. George Foreman. Who remembered that? I go through the list in some of these other names that you start to get down. Oh, they put Charlie Kirk on there. Charlie Kirk at number 34 perhaps should be one of the more recognizable ones because of the revolution that started after the fact that continues to go on with young Republicans. I think that's going to play a big factor into the midterms next year, too, because a lot of these different parties are trying to court young men. I think the movement that Charlie Kirk began, I think, is going to continue to grow. Julianne McMahon, he was in a lot of TV, did some movies. Peter Green was on that list, too. He was in Pulp Fiction there for a little bit. Michael Madsen, another person that was in some of these different movies that Quentin Tarantino did, Kill Bill, Reservoir Dogs being one of them. As I go down the list, some of them you might recognize by their face, but not necessarily their name. So those are just a running list of a few. And if I were to go through that and all of them that I mentioned, how many of them did you forget? Like 75% of them, right? Well, producer Tim, it looks like we're unable to get Jay, our guest. Is that right? Unfortunately, it sounds like he is having a hard time answering, but hopefully we'll be able to. We could. What was that, Tim? Can't get him. Bummer. Maybe we can try again sometime in the future. All right. Something else I found online that was pretty interesting. In Business Insider, I'm not a fan of their website. I think they're kind of a lousy organization, but still. They did this one story that was kind of interesting. They say 2025 was the year of Mormons. Mormon influencers, Mormon celebrities, things like that. They're part of the Mormon mania sweeping American culture. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City being one of them. Mormon influence trends, different brands. Like, I don't know these brands. Swig and Crumble, I have not heard of it. Mormon community appeal. Young Americans are seeking structure, a sense of connection. They like the idea that you can have a traditional family with values. They say this Mormon stuff sounds pretty good to me. Isn't that interesting that 2025 brought the rise in Mormonism into pop culture and looked at it as a good thing, not a weird thing? I'm going through the article, and it says 2% of the U.S. population self-identifies as members of the Church of Latter-day Saints, but they've dominated our screens and conversations in 2025, from Dancing with the Stars to the heated discourse around influencers like Helen Nealman, who I don't know who that is, says the phenomenon that's complicated for the church itself, which they say is part of the commentary when entertainment media distorts faith. I think as a Christian, I'm not a Mormon, and you know, I don't know if I would say that I know much about the Mormon faith whatsoever. I do know a few interesting things about Mormons. For example, I think they believe in, stop me if I'm wrong, and maybe you're a Mormon and you want to text in if I say something wrong here. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. But back in the day, so Mormons were kind of like exiled, and they found themselves in Missouri in the St. Louis region, and they were exiled again through persecution. So they moved to the other side of the state of Missouri, in which they believe the western portion of Missouri houses where the original site of the Garden of Eden sits. And then they continue to be exiled, I guess, further until now, you know, Utah becomes the resting spot where a lot of the homeland is for Mormons. But they own a lot of land in different places in the United States, including in western Missouri, where they believe the site of the Garden of Eden is. I found that fascinating. I also found that there was, you know, a lot of anti-Mormon sentiment back in the day where, I mean, literally, they were killing them. And that's why they kept leaving and having to be forced to leave. Very interesting there. And if you think about the Mormon faith today, they're looked at as very gentle, right? They're looked at as very humble people. So if they have those same type of traits back then, you're like, okay, why were you giving them a hard time back then? Going back to this, they say some portrayals are fair and accurate, but others resort to stereotypes or gross misrepresentations that are in poor taste and have real-life consequences for people of faith. I will say, as a Christian, I go back and look at the way the faith is depicted in pop culture, and unfortunately, what we find is that, like through Catholic faith or even just, you know, non-denominational, whatever it may be, there are those certain stereotypes that are out there. But the problem that you run into is that it's looked at as a way where pop culture either demonizes them, as in being very extreme, or you look at it on the other side, which is we're trying to dictate where the faith should go, meaning we'll forget about the teachings of Jesus, and we'll just hyper-focus on acceptance, meaning that you should be able to go to a church, and the church should be accepting of sinful behavior, because the acceptance is more than the sin. you notice that in a lot of pop cultures too, when it comes to TV shows, movies, things like that, where they say, oh, no, I go to a church that does this, and we believe in this, and we do that. It's such a weird trend in Christianity right now. And if you're someone that is more traditional and you look at yourself as a Bible believer and you want to keep yourself on that path, then you're looked at as the one that's weird. But ultimately speaking, if you are, you know, your foundation is true to the Bible and biblical understanding, then you're going to find that that stuff's not going to faze you all that much. You realize that this stuff that's on reality TV or the stuff that's on television, not a representation of your actual faith, which is the faith that you have one-on-one, is the one that really matters, not how someone else depicts it from the outside in. So you got to just keep that and bear that in mind, too. But they look at 2026 as part of this article, and they forecast where they think things are going, and they feel like the trends for Mormonism continues to grow as people struggle, and they say, you know, I'm having a hard time in life. Why does it, the Mormons make it look like everything's so easy? They have a stay-at-home mom who takes care of the kids, who get good grades in school, and they're happy, and they're not getting in trouble. I want that. They own land. They're self-sufficient. They seem to be wise with their finances. That's what I want. So that's the appearance that some of these things are showing off, and they're looking at the positive stereotypes. Obviously, not everything's going to be positive, but they look at the positive stereotypes, and a lot of people say they want that traditional life. I wonder if you strip Mormonism and maybe that appearance out of it, that you start to get to more of a root appeal that a lot of young voters are trying to move towards, and that's something where the Republican Party can go in and say, well, yeah, that's kind of what Charlie Kirk and a lot of these young commentators started to go into, and they said they recognize this is much more appealing than the struggle and the strife and trying to keep up with whatever the latest trend is, and, oh, I need to make sure I know what's woke today, so I'm on that side. I need to put up the appearances that way. That is exhausting, and that is just miserable way to live. And I think that's why the Republican Party found so many young men in flocking to them, because they look at it and they say, this is what appeals to us now. I'm Ryan Ranker, filling in for Tara. Happy to be with you. If you want to message the show, feel free to use the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 800-905-0989. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back. Happy to be with you. So I'm looking at some of these text messages that are coming in, and some people are not happy with the Mormon faith, I guess. You know, back when Mitt Romney was running for president, he was the candidate. I know a lot of people brought up a lot of objections for the Mormon faith. I think that's where a lot of it came from. One person said, Mormonism is Satanism. I don't know if I would go as far as saying that, but I will say that when you distort the Bible, it's not a good thing. Let's look at some other things here. The Mormons avoid debt and plan ahead for hard times by saving up money and food to last something like 6 months minimum. So are you saying part of the tenets of Mormonism is planning? Yes. You know, I think a lot of people don't do a good enough job of planning. They think about, you know, how can I scrape by paycheck to paycheck without putting anything in for the future? More and more people, I think, at least based on the internet, what I found something very encouraging with people on the internet, especially young people, is they like to go online and talk about their progress of saving for the future. There are certain investment accounts, and sometimes it's cryptocurrency. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a huge fan of cryptocurrencies. I'm more interested in the technology behind it than I am the actual coins and things. But I think the technology could be used in very positive ways to speed things up and make it more affordable. For example, banks to talk to each other. I hate to have to pay a fee to move money around. That's so stupid. I mean, this could be used to, so there's no fee in it instantly. You don't have to wait 2 days for something to show up or whatever. But I think the people that go online, young people, and they say, okay, where should I invest this money if I have $1,000? What can I do with it? And there's communities of people online that are very good at helping other people make the most of their money. And that is encouraging to me, because when I was younger, you didn't have a lot of options. Your options were go ahead and put money into your 401k that may or may not be matched by your employer. And that's all you do. Like that was the only advice you were given. because no one would talk to you. If you went to your bank and said, I'm thinking about investing some money, let's look it up. Click, click, click. Oh, you have less than $100,000. Well, sorry, we can't really take you on as a client. We don't really work with people with that little of money. So you had young people totally discouraged. And sometimes now it's looked at as almost a hobby, like a goal. Think about how kids play video games today, where there's these certain incentives. Okay, you got to get to the next level. And to get to the next level, you have to do this. And to do this, you have to go and do these quests, whatever it is. They understand that our brains are wired in a certain way. And they realize, okay, get just like Dave Ramsey in the Baby Steps, we need to introduce these things to young people. Get $100, get $1,000, get $5,000. Keep working on these little baby steps while you try your best not to get into debt. Mormons figured that out a long time ago. Maybe that's why it's appealing to so many different people. One person said, Mormonism is not biblical faith. They believe in internal marriage. They don't believe Jesus is actually God. Yeah, without going in on the tenets of the faith itself, what I'm saying is, and part of the point of the article is, what's appealing is the lifestyle of here's the traditional family values with some security built into it. They look happy, they look healthy, and they can supply and provide for an entire family under one income stream. How can I get that? I think that's what's appealing to people, not the faith side of it. I think that faith side of it's a whole different thing. I think they want to be Christians, but also want to live through some of these different tenets, I believe. All right, when we come back, there's so much we got to get to on the show, but if you want to continue to text the show, go ahead and use the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 800-905-0989. I'm Ryan Renker, filling in for Tara. Don't go anywhere on WORD.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.